I want this one moment. It's what I want in a relationship, which might explain why I'm single now. Ha ha. It's kind of hard to... It's that thing when you're with someone and you love them and they know it and they love you and you know it, but it's a party and you're both talking to other people and you're laughing and shining and you look across the room and catch each other's eyes, but not because you're possessive or it's precisely sexual, but because that is your person in this life. And it's funny and sad, but only because this life will end and it's the secret world that exists right there in public, unnoticed, that no one else knows about. It's sort of like how they say that other dimensions exist all around us, but we don't have the ability to perceive them. That's what I want out of a relationship. Or just life, I guess. Love. I sound stoned. I'm not stoned.
Now when she went to Chicago that night, she faced the wall. And she woke up outside with all those leaves on her mouth and felt the pole. And all night the rain came on down. But then she'd never been to Chicago.
Podcast. This is Andrew.
I am high.
And you, sir, are welcome.
Thank you. That's really Damien and Douglas being jackasses as we've been for the last 30 minutes attempting to record this podcast. But well, we're going to barrel right through this. Because this week, we're going to be talking about the Oscar-winning Best Foreign Film of last year by Asar Farhadi, the man who gave us The Past, who gave us A Separation, who gave us About Ellie, and all the other movies that we haven't seen yet. And we will by the time this podcast dies. The movie is called The Salesman.
Death of a Salesman.
No, The Salesman.
I feel like there was a lot of good content in this week's beta podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
30 minutes of unusable trash.
Zendenki. سیاه همچین گفت خونه خراب شده گفتم از زیر آوار باید بیم بکشیم اتون بیرم
این بمید میجه این
مسئل مستجر قبلیه ما قرار بیاد ببرم
چی میدونم اینقدر محکم گفت همه هنگ کردم میام میبرم که مثلا
So Damon, where is this guy from again? Here's David deciding, do we need to restart this podcast?
Okay, I restart it a third time.
So yes, Andrew, he directed a bunch of great movies that we generally love.
Right, he's from somewhere in the Middle East.
Okay.
Somewhere. Off Muslim. Iran. Right. Iranistan. That's the reason.
Isn't that song that was in La La Land?
Yeah.
Yeah. Iran.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't ask a serious musician. Anyways.
Boy.
You can't laugh because it's a musical.
The part of that movie that wasn't a musical was really good. I should do a director's cut of La La La.
Where the songs are cut out.
The only song I keep
like
is the last
minutes
one.
Long? Oh, you like the last one?
No, because it ties the whole lot
of
the movie
I
together.
Love that sequence. It's great.
Right. But the rest of them, I'll let it go. That's fine. I'll just keep the jokes.
So you have 15 minutes at the end
and
no music.
Song?
That has to mean that the movie's on maximum half hour.
Yeah, that's right? Good enough. Okay. Yeah, no, I'll take that.
But you'll keep in Iran, right?
Of course. Douglas.
That's
come
the best
on.
Part. Oh
that's, not a, that's not a musical song. Douglas. That's just a joke.
Yeah, I know. Uh-huh. Which is why uh-huh. it needs to stay in.
Yeah. Right. Movie from Iran. Stop it.
I just murdered the mic.
Taking control of this podcast. This man did A Separation, one of my favorite movies of all time. And Andrew picked another movie for me to watch from him. And so I was excited. And I watched a movie and was less excited. Because it's nowhere as good as A Separation. Aww. His bar is very high. And he did not... it wasn't what I wanted. That being said, I did enjoy the movie. It is about a couple that... the husband teaches. I have no idea what the wife does. But they're also in a play.
She acts.
Is that all she does?
Oh, no.
Okay. Because acting seems like a...
A hobby.
A evening thing, yeah. Not a full-time thing. And the movie starts and it is... right away, it's like all systems go because there's a building collapsing... And people say it so matter-of-factly, you're like, I don't think you people know what a building collapsing is like. And after the people are like helping other people get out of the building, you see that there's a tractor
the worst
outside.
Is exactly. It's not that the building is collapsing, right? So it would be one thing, it would be bad and not so bad if what it is as well. It's an old house.
Yeah.
They didn't actually build it right the first time. Mm-hmm. It's about to come down. Let's get out of the way. No, it looks like somebody's just like, you know what? I want to build around here and these guys are in my way. So, yeah. All right. And I'm not going to tell them, and I'm going to do it in the middle of the night when everybody's sleeping.
Right.
So that's what it looked like.
So they are now out of a home, and luckily there is a guy that's part of their acting troupe that that knows somewhere that they can stay. And so they move into this new place, and there is still some stuff there from a previous tenant. And there's a little back and forth about what they're going to do with the stuff, and they decide to just put it outside, which is of course what you do. And then there is an incident and the wife is attacked, and then that is the catalyst for the rest of the movie. That is where you can see that it is one of his movies, because he is very good at taking the man and woman relationship and like bending it to see how far before it snaps. And he did it with A Separation, and he did it again here. The thing with A Separation is I can see both sides of the argument in A Separation. The problem I had with this was towards the end, when there's about to be a resolution, the wife takes a side that I was just one. I'm just like, I can't, this, none of this. This is where I have to step, like, none of this makes any sense. Like, she's a crazy person. And there's no, this relationship has to be over because she's lost her mind. And watching the rest of the movie play out after that, I was just like, I don't see how, like, I just couldn't see where this lady was coming. Like, I couldn't empathize with her viewing of the entire situation. It didn't feel like a real reaction. It felt like something he wrote and then had the actors like try to give life to. And that is the difference that I have between this and A Separation, where A Separation at every single instant felt real and genuine, and this one, especially towards the end, the conflict that developed seemed contrived. It felt arbitrary, and I didn't like it as much because of that. But on a whole, like, he's very good at, like, bringing you... Like, I've never been to any of these countries, and he's very good at making you feel like you've been in this place for a while. You feel grounded. You feel like all of these people are real people and aren't just there to push some shitty story along. The thing that Andrew loves about movies where you can see an outside world, the rest of the world in this movie feels genuine. It doesn't just feel like they've taped up cardboard boxes to Andrew, like, don't look at the edges, just focus on these two and we'll push this story along. It felt like a complete world. But at the end, there were some decisions there that are I didn't agree with, and I couldn't see how the decisions were made, and so that is what brought this movie down for me. But on a whole, it's still really good.
So I really like this movie, and it's one of those movies where I know that I probably only understand about 10% of it, and there is so much more that I haven't just soaked in or just got, it just hasn't clicked with me, that I hope to go back and figure out. What I liked, and it's weird, right? So I started out watching this movie, and even before, I don't know what just came over me. Right when we press play, I said to Andrew, you know, dumb joke, this movie's about has something to do with these guys putting on a play for Death of a Salesman, right? And response to me, yeah, it is. I was like, wait, what? Because that was just my dumb joke of the day, right? And it turned out to be true. But actually, I think that that was one of the things that propelled this movie. Essentially, it is a drama wrapped around a drama. Because I've never watched or read Death of a Salesman. I vaguely know what it is. You know, at a high level, there's a salesman father who's a dick, right?
Yeah.
And it's exploring his relationship with the rest of his family and whatever, whatever. And it's super... It's real dramatic.
It's
and
non-Douglas material.
Yeah. Well, maybe, but...
He's not the type of dick that me and you enjoy.
No, yeah, exactly.
I read the book, and... he's a dick, but there's no joy in it.
Yeah,
he's just a miserable piece of shit.
Pretty much, right?
This book sucks.
And in a sense, that's not what's happening around the play, but it almost grounds you to the fact that this movie or this situation is going to be a dire one, and you kind of build from there. And the situation that they find themselves in is just a horrible one, right? And he's the kind of guy that he doesn't let up really when he has his stories. You're gonna say something?
I was going to say, if this movie weren't from Iran but from Korea, that would have given me an ending. My friends, is an ending that I'd be 100% on board with.
I actually thought a lot about that when the movie was going on. I'm like, this feels like the Iranian version of a Korean movie. And I appreciate that thought in my mind a lot. You're like, images from Lady Vengeance came up in my mind where, like, there should be a guy outside with, like, the axe put it together. With the line being queued up. Right?
Like, I know how this movie should end. Park Chan Wook also how this movie should end. Farhadi does not.
But he's a
decent person. This is the problem. Right?
But what Farhadi does is he just sticks. He never lets up, right? So every time something happens, the situation just gets more and more dire. So you start off. Let's start with the inciting incident, which is this lady, the guy, the salesman's wife, gets
attacked.
Something happens, right? Yeah, there's an attack of some sort. It's really well done in that so the attack itself, the way that was filmed was great, because essentially somebody buzzes And she clearly thinks it's her husband. Just unlocks the door, mm-hmm. goes about her business, and goes into the bathroom. And the way that it's done from day one, when you hear the buzz, you think to yourself, or maybe just I thought to mm-hmm. myself, this could be one of those moments where it's a switcheroo where mm-hmm. It's not who you think it is. And it does this thing where for a second you think that, and then for a second it doesn't really feel that way again. And then he does this thing where he sticks the camera sticks with the door being half open. Mm-hmm. And you said to yourself, is this guy just being an asshole? Is the husband about to come in? Or, and then the longer it stays, you're like, boy, I mm-hmm. think there's this sense of impending doom, this dread. And you're like, you know what? Something bad's about to happen, right? And then it immediately cuts and you see her, I think, lying on the floor or something right. like that. And just harrowing scene.
I think in between there's an insert of the husband like at the shop.
Right, shopping. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, walking. Yeah, right. And like, that's the point when you know, like,
yeah. it's not him.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. He's elsewhere. And right. if I remember correctly, there's even a moment where he kind of looks up as if he's surprised at something. Mm-hmm. And you guys can tell me I'm speaking nonsense, but for some reason, I kind of read that almost as he knew something happened. But, maybe. You know, it's just like one of those, like, mm-hmm. external feelings that you have.
Because, I mean, as he was walking up the steps, he saw the blood. Yeah. And then he's like, wait a second. And yeah. then, like, when he got to the top of the stairs and realized that the blood was coming from his house, like, there was a full-scale panic. Mm-hmm. And, like, he did, like, the movie is shot so well and acted so well that you feel... Yeah. All the emotion. There's one point where he's upset with the fact that she doesn't want to go anywhere or do anything, and she's contradicting herself.
I don't know about that. I know when I watched it, I wasn't upset. I was actually more upset with the guy. And what it could have just been is that the time lapse mm-hmm. kind of fucked things up, because clearly after enough time, you, as any person may mm-hmm. get. It's hard to say not tired, but mm-hmm. you know, frustrated yeah. with the situation. But as I was watching this, I'm like, dude,
yeah.
calm the fuck down. Your wife probably got
right.
you know,
and then he like, realized yeah. it before walking through the door. He's like, oh shit. And he's like, and he has to, like, she's just sitting there in the room, back turn, and they just keep the camera steady, and you just watch him walk past the camera mm-hmm. into the room. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, dog, listen. Like, you being a dick. Like,
exactly,
she's,
yeah.
Yes, she's not being rational because she's afraid, and that's where fear comes from.
Absolutely.
Fear isn't rational. So
yeah.
And you something try to walk it back. Yeah.
Happened, right? And for a long time, you're not even 100% sure what happened, yeah. right? And even towards the end when things are explained, somebody could be lying.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, things like its memories aren't 100%. And it's... So that's what's, I think, really good about this movie, is that it plays off of that. You see the fear and anxiety and just the trauma that she has internalized, and her reaction to all of that. And you have to think to yourself, what happened, and, mm-hmm. you know, how bad of a situation was it? You know, she talks about she saw somebody's hand in mm-hmm. her hair, and, like, you know, things like that. And he, like, definitely there are a lot of moments when he's just an asshole about it, where he's like, you know what, I want to go out, and he doesn't actually go out and have drinks with his friends, but it feels like that, right? Yeah. Where he's like, I just want to go out and not have to worry about this.
Yeah.
And, you know, but you can see it takes its toll on him as well in a way, right? Mm-hmm. But this movie is just a miserable movie
yeah.
about a horrible,
a shitty
situation. And not only that, but it then explores the bad decisions that you make mm-hmm. when you're in a shitty situation like that. And as you say, you speak to the fact that this is kind of like a Korean movie. There is a bit of, there's like a note, a whiff of revenge in here, but not quite, right?
Right, because yeah. It wasn't done in Korea.
So you
think people don't talk their problems out in Korea at all?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because of North Korea? Like the
the South Korean president is in jail right now. No one is talking now. And she had to go there to be safe.
Yeah. I mean, this movie, like, this is one of those movies I like it a lot. And I feel like I don't like it enough, and there's more for me to like that I didn't catch.
So there's a part where she's explaining what was happening for like the 14th time or mm-hmm. whatever it was. And she, you can hear her blame herself. She's just like, if I didn't leave the door yeah. open or whatever. And that is like, at that part, that's like halfway through the movie, I was 1000% on board. I'm just like, this movie is great. Can't wait to see all this resolve. But if you tease me with Koreanness
and then present you with Iranian,
and then don't play it out properly.
Mm-hmm. But think about it, right? Mm-hmm. Look at how, let's just say Iranian yes. versus mm-hmm. South Korean, right? Mm-hmm. Look at how Iranian this guy's plan was.
I think he can say Korean. I don't think anyone thinks you're yeah, talking no one about thought, a North yeah. Korean right, movie.
There we go. But
listen, I'll watch a little
his
Kim
plan,
movie.
Right? It was, it wasn't even, there were no shades of Korea in that plan.
No!
There were, it, there wasn't even, no. like the build-up wasn't even Korea.
Douglas, right. I understand all of that. Mm-hmm. That is, towards the end, where it became obvious that this movie could come from Korea, right? The build-up towards the final encounter. Like, you saw him follow some people for a little bit, but none of it felt menacing at any point. Like, you just felt sorry for him. Like, he was just running down any leads he could find. And he stumbled onto this and was just following it to its natural end. And when I thought the movie was going to continue to be Iranian, and at no point was I expecting anything from Korea. Then, Douglas, they gave me a slice. They're like,
no,
listen.
But even that slice was not, it was fully Iranian. What was no. his plan? What was his plan?
Douglas.
What was his plan?
All right. I want to talk.
Yes.
About, mm-hmm. Well, you're kind of
Kevin?
Walking around.
No,
this right?
is not. We need
no one has. There's no Kevin in this movie. No one fits Kevin's description here.
Nope.
Well, you've been walking around, which is the whole not quite being on board with, like, towards the end as it relates to everyone's decision as to how to deal with mm-hmm. what's going on. Right?
So I agree with the husband's decision making.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Mm-hmm. Right? So first of all, as we mentioned, the inciting incident has to do with the wife being attacked.
Yes.
Right? And the
so okay, you know what freaked me out a while ago? You and I essentially did the same thing. Mm-hmm. But I lip-synced it. But I heard it being said in my headphones at the same rate that I was saying it, and I got so confused a while ago.
Oh no. Oh no, we're the same person.
That's why I need to put it left and right. So,
are we brothers? Is there a switch in the hospital? So me and him are basically the same age. We're born the same month. Something could have happened.
Yeah, I think so.
Possibly. Makes more sense that way. So, the thing about it is that, and the first thing that came to mind throughout the whole of this movie, right, from when it occurs to like the end of the movie, it just kept sticking in the back of my mind, was she raped? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
And yeah. Was Farhad attempting to tell us this without any definitive cues because of culture reasons?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So throughout the movie and from the incident forward, every time she was asked to talk about it in sort of formal sense, she would refuse, mm-hmm. right? She would always give you little things, right? Mm-hmm. So he would say, let's go to the police. And she'd be like, no, I don't.
Yeah.
And then she'd say, I don't want to go to the police. And when he said, like, but we should, there was an incident, right?
Mm-hmm.
She refuses and says, I fell down, right? Mm-hmm. He even then asks her, is there anything that you need to that you should be ashamed of reporting,
mm-hmm.
right? Mm-hmm. And it just brings all of that to the front of my mind as to that must be wow. the thing.
Mm-hmm. Did he actually say those
Yes,
words?
He yeah. did.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, man.
But they're definitely, they're, in the they're all sorts of cues, yeah. right? There's, mm-hmm. there's external cues, like the neighbor guy going up to her and being like, yeah, I kind of half agree with you, don't go to the police because mm-hmm. they're going to want you to talk about things you probably don't want to talk right. about, right? Yeah.
And that's the number one thing in my mind as it relates to her behavior mm-hmm. from that moment forward,
mm-hmm.
yeah. right? Which is why there's so much of it that you're not understanding, or at least you say, like, mm-hmm. you're not on board with. Let me not use the word understand, because mm-hmm. that's a little bit wrong. Not on board with, because you have Korea in your mind. where that is what makes her performance even more interesting to me, mm-hmm. right? Where I understand the Korean half, which is the man's half, where he's down to Korea mm-hmm. this movie,
yep.
right? And she is constantly being like, no, we have to keep this inside, never let it out. Anything that can make this come out in any way, brush mm-hmm. it away. Don't make it, let the man go. Yeah. Don't go to the police. If someone asks, I fell. If anyone
exactly.
else, right?
Mm-hmm.
If anyone,
even like when she went back to the play,
yeah.
she was upset. She's like, why didn't you just tell him I had a cold? Mm-hmm. Like, what is wrong with you?
Right.
You know? Yeah.
And in a time in which people are more and more talking about victimization, especially mm-hmm. in the West, where we have from people going on about rape culture, which definitely is a thing, right? I don't want to sound like I'm devaluing any of that stuff going mm-hmm. on. And all of these things, I'm always fascinated by how other cultures deal and mm-hmm. discuss these things, because I don't know a lot, obviously, about Iranian. The actual laws, mm-hmm. right? That's one of the things about a separation that mm-hmm. fascinated me, was when they actually got into the law side,
right.
so that you could kind of hear what some of their moral rules turned to laws were,
right?
Right? You just imagine that there's something deep down in there that if they were to whisper that word out, that it wouldn't mm-hmm. just be the man on the fire for whatever, there'd be something else going on that we don't quite know about. Mm-hmm. But just to see how she progressed in dealing with that trauma, right? And to the movie's benefit or detriment, there's still a doubt in my mind, saying it out loud,
mm-hmm.
of was she raped?
Right, it wasn't definitive.
Right. And once again, I put it forward, was it cultural as to why he couldn't say it? Was it a filmmaking reason why he couldn't movie?
So,
right?
I think you can argue whether the story makes sense or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there was a story proffered that included a specific answer to whether that happened. No, as to whether you trust that story.
Right, towards the end.
Right, towards the end, so they have that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think there is that. And it is plausible. Not saying it happened, but it's plausible that the story that was proffered
mm-hmm.
actually is, or was in
right.
this make-believe world, the truth.
Because there seemed
right?
to be some agreement between both parties
mm-hmm.
that is the story we're running with.
but so I don't know if I agree that for a lot of this movie you had that, but I don't know if by the end of the movie, I don't know how vague or ambiguous that is, and I'm still not 100% sure. Just from like the physics, the physicality of certain things. Right. I'm not sure if I really believe it. I kind of want to, because then it's kind of like a happy ending in a way. It's not, but...
I think he's drunk. He's high. Just remember that. He's high. I'm welcome.
It's hard for me to really say what I want to say without spoiling anything. Happy ending is clearly not the what I really want to say. But it is...
It's a softer ending.
Thank you. Right.
It is not full career then.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like a case of mistaken identity kind of shit. Right? That went... comedically wrong in a serious fashion, but you wonder, is it true, is it not, can you believe him based on the fact that clearly there was all sort of physicality versus, you know, the state that he's in? Would he be able to discern?
I didn't bring up the potential rape thing because didn't want to ruin this podcast, but we're there, so who cares. From the moment it happened and she's like, we're not going to the police, I was fully on team rape.
Oh, of course.
100%. Yeah. And towards the end, the only reason I think both of them agreed to say nothing happened is because she was well aware that if he said, yeah, I raped your wife, he would not have left that room. There's a murder happening inside that room. And she, for whatever reason, wanted all of this to just go away. But it also, because I was always convinced that something did happen, it made me quadruply confused as to why, like, in the situation where he's in now, she's just like, no.
But the thing is, I don't... And so, okay, I kind of get now why you were so against, in a way, what her decision.
Right.
But when I was watching it, and again, I mean, I know we've cut out conversation and we've gone right back into the thick of it.
Same.
But... when they're having the conversation, I didn't see that sort of collusion that you saw. I didn't see the wink and a nod where they're like, yeah, we'll just not say this, right? Okay, cool. Like, it seemed to me to be a fairly... And I almost don't believe it, but it seemed as if they both felt like they were being honest. In some way.
What it felt like to me was the fact that he had to ask him meant that the wife didn't confirm. Because if the wife had confirmed
the wife didn't
There'd be no talking.
And when he mentioned one night that
the wife would go, that is him, and then there'd be a murder.
Yeah.
But he had to go and ask. And so he's like, all right, if the wife said nothing happened, then I'm not going to kill myself here. Nothing happened. She's like, nothing happened. Right? But...
Did she actually say it? Because like, I don't think she remembered... Yeah, she didn't remember anything.
Like, or she basically went...
the beginning.
It's him, but nothing. Like, nothing happened. Right? And... up until we got there, I was just like, all right, when the wife comes, even if she is like... Because... When he called the wife, I'm like, all right, this is full career. But even when she's just like, all right, no, right? Clearly, I cannot allow you to kill this man, right? When she was like, and I don't want you to tell his family any, just let this man who ruined our lives walk out of this room. I was like, no woman on earth. It's not a single woman that I've ever met anywhere that is just gone. Oh, this traumatic thing that happened. I am going to... If it was years between, right? If he found him, say, 10 years after the fact, like after they've already moved and he was just still secretly looking, and then she saw this frail man and she's just like, all right, there's been enough time. I've grown enough to forgive this man, then maybe. Still have called BS, but I'd have got fine. Iran, fine. But, this is what, let's be generous, 3 months? No fucking way. There's no way. There's just no, I cannot agree with her line of thinking. It does not feel right.
I'm not saying I agree with it. Right, because there's so many people who talk about going back to rape, talking about rape culture, and talking about why women don't report it in the real world, right?
Oh, no, yeah. No, like, wait, sorry, in what?
In the real world.
Yeah, not the fake world.
Not the fake world.
Is this a real world versus a movie, or is this a real world
this
versus
the MTV
the Middle
series?
East?
It's like, an MTV series, right? Right? About why women don't report it, all these things. And I can empathize with a lot of all of those things they go through.
A lot of all of those things.
But in
all
my...
of most of those things.
But in my head, I always have that voice shouting, why don't you report it?
Because no, we're men, we'll never understand.
I'm fine to have that barrier between right and wrong.
It's hard
for
us to understand.
Right? But in my head, I'm like,
you know, no, I understand. Like, I've been there.
I can kind of empathize with that. Though.
Everyone's like, you should just tell everybody. Like, you've never been a woman, have you? Nope, I never have.
But it's not even a woman, right? Like, actually, I feel like Jamaican men would more understand than other people. Ask them if they'd like to report if they've been raped, and then.
Having grown
when
up,
you hear the nose coming very quickly, you'll be like, that's why.
Having grown up with a lot of women, there's things that I continually take for granted. I was like, no, I grew up with a lot of women, I know. And then you ask the women at your liver and they're like, fuck no. They're like, oh no, all of the things I thought are wrong. Because there's things that, unless you go through it day to day, you can't, like, simple things like walking on the road with my sister. I know the quickest way to get from point A to B is if I need to jump a wall or walk down a dark corner, I just walk through here because that's how I travel every day. And then when you walk with them, you're like, I am not walking. And if there are not people and street lights and cars, I will walk for an hour more rather than walk through there. Like, but, and you're like, but why would you do this? Like, oh yeah, because I've never had to be afraid at anything. When I walk on the road, like headphones, like my sister pointed out, she said, you notice you don't see women walk on the road with headphones. I'm like, oh shit, I do notice that. Women don't walk on the road with headphones. Like, why? Because you have to, as a woman, you have to be aware of all your surroundings all the time. And you guys are men and you just don't give any fuck. like, oh no. And because it's never been a real issue for. So I can see why she'd be afraid to report it. That is not, like, all of that I was 100% on board with. Her being willing to destroy her relationship with her husband over some piece of shit. No woman. There's no woman that would do that. I can't see it. I cannot. That is my sticking point with this movie. Everything else about the movie is quite alright. And I enjoyed most of it. But that is the point. And I'll try and get one of my... either my mother or my sister to watch a movie with me. So I can get a...
the people who will watch subtitles.
Right. So I can get a woman's perspective. No, clearly they don't speak for all women.
Obviously. Are you sure? Shouldn't they at this point?
They speak for all the women I care about.
But if you have them listen to Chaka Khan first, then maybe they could speak for all women?
I mean, they're not classy ladies. They're all women. If you didn't get that joke, go and listen to Chaka Khan. Okay? Stop listening to this horse shit. She has a greatest hits album. It's spectacular. It's about 13 tracks. Great.
Have you ever picked up an artist and listened to their greatest hits album
first?
No, I'm getting. Okay. And then gone, no, those are all bad.
Yeah. I mean, there's no sharper objects nearby, right? The Beatles?
Oh, wow. Seriously?
Yeah, everybody's like, the Beatles! And I went,
I don't think I've heard this before, but like, I mean,
came around and said he thought the Beatles were just jingles.
Yeah. Wow. That, like,
but because the thing about the Beatles, like, I feel like
they're like KFC ads. Like, that's all the Beatles is.
I feel like people can not like them that much, but there's always some level of like,
no.
It's not like, fuck the Beatles.
No, listen, like, you have to understand. The Beatles have been used to advertise literally everything.
Mm-hmm.
So half of the tracks were songs that I heard to sell tires, right? And then the rest of them weren't special enough that I can understand why the entire world has looked at me and gone, listen, you motherfucker. The Beatles are the pinnacle of music.
Do you think he would change his mind if
they can't sing very well.
Listen to the Great album.
I did. I went back and listened to all. I took all the albums from Andrew, and after I went to the greatest hits first, and then I said, maybe I'm doing them a disservice.
Hold on.
I should go through one at a time.
Damien, so the joke here is that the Great album is not a Beatles album. The Great album is, you know, Danger Mouse, right?
Yeah.
So how he got famous.
Infamous.
It was in my college days. I think it might have been like 06-ish. No, sorry. 04-ish. 03-ish in that region of time. He decided to mix Jay-Z's The Black Album with Beatles' The White album to make The Great Album.
Stupid idiot.
And so...
Is it fun?
I liked it at the time.
You don't know anymore.
I don't know anymore, but I'm sure it's at least... I mean, it's Danger Mouse. He's great. Yeah. So I'm sure it's nice.
I went through album by album and just sitting in my room alone, just shaking my head the entire time. Just what on earth? How are these people this famous? Like...
infamous.
Like, people talk about the Beatles like they cure cancer. Like, this whole... Like, no one... I've never heard anyone say a bad word about the Beatles.
The song Imagine did cure cancer.
That's great news.
Yeah. I do like the Beatles, though. I like them a lot.
Like, this is how much I try... Like, the Beatles Rock Band came out.
I remember that, yeah.
And I bought that.
What?
But that's not
how you try and like a band.
No, that was after the entire thing. I went, all right, maybe if there is some interactivity to it, right, maybe then I can get on board. Because when it came out, there was people who were like, I've never been a big fan of the Beatles, but seeing how the songs are structured gave me great appreciation. And I just went and I'm like, this, all of this shit. So, no. They just, like, they sound like, they really do sound like jingles to me. Like, I said it to Andrew, and Andrew, I think, didn't talk to me for a solid month. It's like, I don't want to talk to this fool ever again. But no.
So, do we have anything else to say about this movie?
Nope.
No.
What?
I'm a crazy person.
So much unexplored.
Yeah, I'm a crazy person for finding a sticking point on these two. Love it more than...
But the thing is, and the way I love it, it's weird because...
You'll watch this movie again and you'll enjoy it more.
I feel like there is future love that I haven't given it, you know?
This is a good double like of Veronique for you, right? You'll watch this and there'll be more. And I'll definitely have to watch it again because I need a woman to explain to me the fuck that lady was thinking. And then not understand... Continue. But this movie is great. It's a great movie. It's not Separation, though. That movie is
delicious. I don't think I've watched
Separation. No, so when you haven't seen it,
watch it this year again. So good, so very, very good. And it's close to A Single Man, so I got to watch that again this year. Boy, that movie!
Yay for the
Nocturnal
Alphabets.
Animals Part 1.
Should watch A Serious Man again. I haven't watched that in a while. That's the one with the roof and the lady. No, I'm being serious. I need to watch a serious man again.
I'm hitting you for watching that movie again.
Why? What's wrong with that movie?
I thought didn't we agreed like that, movie. That a serious man starred Colin Firth.
Yeah. No, that was the joke that we made 7 years ago when we started this podcast. But we've grown. I don't even remember what happened a couple of minutes ago on the podcast when I screamed attack.
Moving right along.
Yes, to my favorite section. We went to the theaters.
We saw Alien.
We saw Prometheus 2. Now,
otherwise known Alien Covenant.
Andrew needs to say something on this podcast.
Oh boy.
Words?
Yes. Andrew has some words that he needs to say directly to me.
Uh-huh. Have you prepared about the statement for me?
No, I need to hear what you have to say.
And actually, I think first we need to rewind a little bit and not talk about Alien Covenant or Prometheus 2 as it rightfully is named. I think perhaps we need to have a bit of a recap on Prometheus 1, Andrew.
Right, that is what he
I know that's what it is. I just want to make sure that Andrew doesn't like
worm his way out of this.
I think this should be a team effort. So Douglas, can you start off for me?
Sure. I started watching that movie again and I haven't gotten through it yet, and the way that I've watched it in 5 minute chunks doesn't really help me to form an opinion, unfortunately.
Okay. All right.
He's left you high and dry.
Yes, I have. Right. I feel no different from before.
Right.
How did you feel before?
I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now you.
Damien, what was your opinion of that movie?
I think that is where we started the FTM trend. I was very vigorous in my fucking of this movie.
That's not just because Charlie Stern was in it, though, was it?
No.
All right, that needs to be on a t-shirt.
So, Prometheus came out in 2012.
Yeah.
I remember watching that movie and thinking, movie's not too bad.
Yeah.
It's a decent movie.
Yes, you
it
did.
It had an alien in it.
Mm-hmm.
There were people in spaceships.
Yep, Charlize Theron is pretty.
And there was Michael Fassbender being a weird android, which, if people don't realize, the one theme of all of these alien movies is don't trust the android.
Definitely.
Right? Just never. It's a bad idea.
I think they'd have learned that by now.
And there were TED Talks. Remember when there were TED Talks?
I went back and rewatched that this first trailer for Prometheus. That trailer is still awesome. That is still one. It is that trailer first, and then that second Magic Mike trailer. The one, the pony one.
Oh
Lord. Them some good trailers.
Right. Can we just talk about Magic Mike? I really like Magic Mike.
Fuck that movie.
There was an invitation.
One and two.
Double XL is great.
Right? Just here. There's a beacon out in space. It's not just some random beacon. It's an invitation. Invitation by who? And then it's just Ridley Scott. I'm like, oh my God. Yep. This movie's going to be awesome. And then I got Prometheus.
The thing about this movie is, if they had watched The Expanse, they would know not to go to the planet.
Yeah, you'd have learned.
Yeah, but anyway.
Right, you were saying.
Oh, sorry, it's back to me.
Right, 5 years ago.
I decided to revisit it
to
prepare myself
right
for Alien Covenant because Ridley Scott is back.
Yep.
He's taking us to space again.
Definitely.
And after these two movies are over, what came to mind was an interview I remember with Danny Boyle. Right? Danny Boyle made all these movies. Some we love, some we're all right with. You know, he's a mishmash.
Yeah, but some we hate.
I think overall we can say we like Danny Boyle.
Definitely.
Right? And one of the movies I love from him that a lot of people have issues with is Sunshine.
Like me.
Right?
Yes.
You don't like Sunshine? Yep.
Let's just say that my fucking of that movie is quite vigorous.
Let's not get distracted. I'm getting to a point.
Right.
Right. Repeatedly throughout the years, as movie after movie is released, he does all these interviews, and usually a question comes up about Sunshine, to which people say, like, when are you going back to space? Right. We want to see your next space movie because we're really like,
again.
It doesn't have to be Sunshine 2, but just something space. In space. And
Danny Boyle inspired.
And he tends to come around to the same answer every time, which is that he feels he enjoys jumping between genres, and he feels one of the things having done Sunshine is that he feels filmmakers really shouldn't return to space. And I think Ridley Scott should have taken that to heart. because I love Alien. Mm-hmm. Alien 1 is a perfect movie.
Fine.
Right? If you notice, 2 to 4, all different directors,
yep,
all handed the baton.
Mm-hmm.
Here he came back, and I have to come back and say, Prometheus is shite. Full and proper.
That
is a bad movie. Like, Alien was special because it was a suspense horror movie that did all of these things that even if we look at it as a tropey horror movie where it's pick off everyone right. one by one, mm-hmm. like, it was a well-crafted, well-done, right. put-together...
You felt the tension. Right. The whole second half right. of that movie.
This movie feels like so many of the...
Like how this one could have been.
These two movies feel so much like how so many of the now pullback movies from the mm-hmm. 80s we loved and do reboots slash mm-hmm. Sequels to, where they take the core things, they take the elements from those movies right. that everyone loved. You know, the badass woman mm-hmm. who kicked right. ass, the alien itself,
right.
the
blowing it out of an airlock,
the android, right?
Right, time and again.
And they just kind of throw them in a room and let you play Clue with them, where you're just pulling the cards and going in the dining room with the candlestick. That is the xenomorph did it. And you're just kind of empty, right? It's these movies are about, and the one shining light of these movies, which anyone who writes anything good about these movies focuses on, is David, the android.
Yeah, Fassbender right? is incredible.
And it's
in
not just and it's not just his acting, right? Mm-hmm. But just the concept of what they're doing with his character,
especially in the second one, right? I enjoyed yeah. it. Yeah,
yeah right? that was good.
Where they're taking it on a path of just his creator created something and made him special, and then he then wants to be a creator,
mm-hmm.
and all of these things, and there is something special there somewhere. These movies are bad, though.
Like, people keep pointing to, like, the thing that Patton Oswalt said when he's like, I don't care where my cool shit comes from. Don't tell me the backstories. Alien was great, not because it made sense. It was just great because it was awesome. Right? And they made Aliens 2, and they're like, listen, we could tell a story about where the aliens come from or not. Or we can put more aliens on the ship and give more people more guns. And then aliens versus people.
All I have to say at this point is that I don't find myself making any sense of complaining about Fincher's Alien 3 anymore.
Yeah,
like that's a good movie, though.
Yeah, that's a quality movie. Yeah. That is now a quality movie.
I enjoy that movie.
Yeah. I don't enjoy Prometheus, this movie. Mm. Oh, my God. Alien, they should have just had the balls to call it Prometheus 2.
That's what it was. And the thing about it is, right?
Just
and
don't
I'll
try
say,
and con people
I'll say two
who
things
hated
about
it, Prometheus to go come back and watch this movie.
It's a different.
So there are two things that I want to focus on or two things that I do focus on when I think about this movie, right? And I didn't really like this movie. The first is that the one, and we've all said it just a while ago, the one shining light in this movie is Fassbottom. In particular, British Fassbottom.
That's pretty good.
David is a crazy genius robot who just gives no fucks. And his progression makes a bad movie, but a wonderful character study. Okay. Right, I feel like that would be a great short. The second thing is, this could have been a great movie, because they had all of this set up, which was it was fine. To you know, they're flying. They had to come out of sleep early. A couple of people, James Franco died, mm-hmm. Without being seen, which is always great for James Franco.
He got a YouTube clip.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's always great.
You know, Danny McBride finds a new world. They get on that world.
And he finds the weed.
They're marooned on that world. And there is a velociraptor out to kill them. Mm-hmm. How can you not make the rest of that movie the velociraptor trying to kill you in the they had just blades of grass
that were as
tall as the people.
A storm, so that kills all light even when the sun is out.
And I think they had some guns, so you know you could. That would have been a great movie about people getting picked off one by one and a velociraptor out to get you. Don't tell me it's a xenomorph, it's a fucking velociraptor.
It reminds me a little bit of like a few years back when they remade The Thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That movie that we love, right?
I didn't watch a remake.
Remake is bad.
Because I've seen it, right?
But it's once again them just picking up the things, shifting them around, and being like, here's a movie.
Like,
and it's not about complaining that, you know, they're not being original or anything. It's just,
like,
they're not interesting.
They feel like if you're going to, because I think Neil Blomkamp was supposed to be doing these alien movies and Ridley
Scott. At one point, he called Ridley Scott potentially said, was, working on
listen,
one.
I don't care about the aliens anymore. Find me something else that kills people. Right?
But
it can't be Predator and it cannot be aliens. I'm
but
done.
They're making another Predator.
Stop it. Just get people trapped somewhere in because you need space guns, right? That's all. That's the only reason you're in space.
John Wick space 3. Guns. That's what John Wick 3 is going to be.
Listen, stop.
I'm so
John
happy
Wick 3
that John
is
Wick
the
3.
Matrix 4 is what John Wick John 3 has Wick to be. 3.
That's Damian, a knockout cartoon.
Damian, can Vin Diesel please be in it? So we can call it Triple X Communicado.
Because I don't want Triple X anywhere near it. that second one is so bad.
It is. Jeez.
Third movie.
It's the second Triple X movie.
Six X.
I have to tell you, Damian, and I think I've said this before. It's the second one, Andrew. The second Triple X movie, because the middle one is like 1A or something like that.
Yeah.
1.5.
I actually fully forgot that there was a second one
until the
Ice Cube
came. Right, yeah.
They did make another one.
As bad as it was,
it's really
there
bad.
Was a certain level of enjoyment that had to
at
go
no
out of
point,
it.
So upset the entire time. giving myself cancer. Like, the movie sucks because we're sick and tired of aliens, right? No one knows what to do with aliens anymore. You had it right. Make it a velociraptor. But they're like, no, we need spaceships and hallways and we have to blow it out of airlock at some point, right? Because that is the formula. You can't make an aliens movie and that is not the thing. And so now we're done. Let's hope. I hope this movie makes no money. I'm sick of this shit. I just want... Like, you can use all the same things. You can have people go into space. The Expanse is doing it, right? Have people go to space. Have a thing no one understands, right? There. Have some jackass touch it. And have it try and kill everybody else. Mm-hmm. Then you find interesting ways. Because there's no rules. You don't know how they move. You don't know what they can do. So it's all a mystery. Then you find creative ways for it to kill most of the people and then have one or two people barely survive. And that is the end of the movie. Right? But it cannot be things that we know because then we're going to get mired into backstory
and all of this
shit.
I was joking when I called it a velociraptor, but they could have done that with that movie,
but you have to have the xenomorph.
No, but if they
and
did
have
that,
to blow it out
Damian,
of airlock, they
Damian,
have to.
If you and I directed this movie, and we could have, yes, it would be bad because we're hard.
I mean,
but
it would be great.
But
people wouldn't like it, but it would be great.
Let's look at it differently, right? Let's say Ridley Scott just straight up quit halfway through,
and
he filmed it up to the point where they got to the tall grass.
We'd have made a kick-ass movie.
We'd have made a kick-ass movie, yeah, right? And it would have had the alien same way, or whatever the hell that thing is.
Mm-hmm.
That thing would have, as we say, picked off one and two people.
Mm-hmm.
There would have been some sort of big fight, and you know somebody would have barely made it,
like scraped.
Yeah,
right.
If they're lucky,
right?
Because we might be assholes and just be like, you know what? Nobody died. Sure. Nobody lives.
You know what I'd love to see?
Yeah.
I'd love to see a Damien-directed Justice League movie, but...
Mm. Well, Doug Liman did just fall out, so Damien is available.
I will be on board.
But, the people have to tell him which characters he's using, and he's not allowed to Wikipedia them.
Yeah, nope.
So he just gives them, names.
Oh, yeah. Like,
these are the DC characters you get to use in this movie.
That'd be great.
Oh, that would be the best.
Oh, because what would happen, right? I feel like, first of all,
Arrow Man.
You wouldn't create the names. The names would be given to you.
Oh, that's even better.
So he would create, for the ones that he doesn't know, which would probably be most of them, he'd create the dumbest joke ever for each of them.
Douglas,
and then,
like, you can see into my mind.
The thing about it is, right, for the ones that he does know, let's say there's Batman, mm-hmm. right? Yep. I feel like, I know, I'm just saying like a big name. I feel like he would still try and make a joke out of it. He would make them be as close to the real thing as he had to for the people, but as close to what he wanted for himself.
I'd, like, all of the big name characters would spare. Like, they'd just...
Or maybe you just kill them off.
No, they'd just be like, joke. Because they wouldn't allow me to murder all of the big name characters. So I just have them barely in the movie as, like, jokes.
So essentially they'd be Wolverine in the... What was it? Class? X-Men class?
X-Men first class.
Like,
fuck yourself, right? Yeah.
So, by the way, as much as Hugh Jackman has said that he's retired, and Hugh, I know you listen to this podcast religiously. I
mean, they all do. Everyone does.
Yeah,
Doug Liman just heard us
and
talk
this,
about the movie.
Exactly.
Right?
And this is my appeal to you, Hugh.
Don't
please,
do anymore. Stop it.
No. Yes, don't do anymore. But please, do like that scene. Do a quick scene for Deadpool. I beg of you. Deadpool 2, that'd be great. If he was just in there, he, as far as I'm concerned, he doesn't need to bulk up back for it again.
He punches Cable in the face.
He doesn't even punch anybody. It's just a joke where, like,
he could just be Hugh Jackman. Yes. Like, he didn't have to be Wolverine. He could just be regular Hugh Jackman.
Yeah. And then Deadpool just kind of looks at him weirdly.
Like, yeah.
I know you from somewhere. It's like, oh, fuck yourself.
I mean, it might even be funnier to be fat Hugh Jackman. Come on. Like,
it's pretty good.
It's great. It would be like Mac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, FYI, American Gods can go and fuck itself now, officially.
No, I figured that. I figured it out.
I did three episodes and I'm like, anyone, I don't care.
I'm still with it, but we'll see.
Here's how I know that show is bad. Before the show came out, it was nothing but hype.
Mm-hmm.
Three episodes in, I can't find any writing on that show anywhere. Everybody's like, oh no, I don't even remember what.
Yeah. So then, you see, this show has a big problem, and let me tell you what it
bad.
Is. Well,
it's
I will reserve that judgment, because that judgment could be made, but I'll give it a little bit of room.
Mm-hmm.
The real problem is that it digs too deep. It goes too specific into teeny tiny things for 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of 45 minutes, not much has happened, and you're not sure where they want to go with it. So, after four episodes, you're still thinking, what's the point of this show?
Didn't they see Preacher? Has no one
it comes
seen
back
that?
Soon.
Don't, yeah, next month.
Don't say things like that to me.
So, because
I have to go back to work. You can't tell me that things that will keep me from work. That's a good enough excuse to stay home, man. I could look at job or have all these episodes.
Anyone call you yet?
I watch Preacher.
And I'm glad. I think I'm going to take like a month off.
Oh, yeah, nice. That's good.
Yeah.
I haven't. Like, I left school 3 weeks after I left you. I was working. I've been working nonstop since. I'll take a month. Feel what it feels like to be a capital W waste man.
Kick Rock Stone.
Yeah, Walk Road Kickstone. WRKS. That's where I went to school.
Moving right along. There are pineapples you guys want to talk about.
Let's not this week. The song is too bad.
I don't even know what the song
okay,
is.
Okay, thank this Christ, because I thought it was just me. I was watching this video. I couldn't even watch all of it. So let's talk about the pineapple in the room, right? And the pineapple in the room this week is a song by a fellow called Echo Minot.
Yep.
And it is called something like What the Hell?
Yep.
All right. So my phone is giving trouble because it's 8%.
Yeah, not even your phone wants to talk about this song.
But this song, the thing about it is, I almost understand why it's on the list. Because this song is the dance halliest of dance hall, but in a crap way, right?
It's old.
It's old. It has a very monotone kind of beat. Mm-hmm. And the fella that is DJing on it can't hold a tune and is just talking rubbish from beginning to end. And is also quite monotonous. And have you watched the YouTube video for this? Have you watched the actual music video for this?
I saw the music video for it.
Oh, this is such a dancehall music video.
That is the only thing I'll give it. That this is the template for what the rest of dancehall music was going to be.
Pretty much. This is like somebody who saw dancehall, loved it, wasn't very good at it, but decided to make a song.
You know, the roots of the what they do, and they're mocking what old rap. Now imagine if that was done in earnest. that's basically what this video is.
Damien, there are a number of scenes in this video where a fellow in a bush jacket, is sitting in front of a board, a mix board, just pushing up and down at one volume knob, and the other hand is in the air licking shot, and it is just hilarious.
It is. This song can't be on the list.
No,
right? This song is so old and so bad. I didn't remember it. I can't.
I don't know this song.
I don't.
At all.
Right? Like I was like, have I ever heard this? And like kept listening to it to see maybe there was somewhere. Even went home and did like a search. I'm like, all right, I must be able to find him or somewhere in my library, and just zeros across the board. Just nothing about this song is remarkable, and it should not be listened to. It does not belong on this list. It's bad. It's a bad song. I don't care what it preceded. I don't care how many people listen to it and go, I too shall become a DJ, because if this piece of shit can do it, then I surely have enough talent. But that is inconsequential at this point. It's too bad. You'll never listen to this song anywhere at any time. Because there's just nothing there. It's a nothing dancehall song that was sung sometime in the 80s that everyone has forgotten about, except Pitchfork, obviously. But next week, next week we have Bojo.
Oh, and it's off of
Till Shiloh.
I love that album.
The greatest dancehall album of all time.
Well, can I tell you, I don't see that as a dancehall album.
Fine, you're wrong, but it's
I mean, it's not. I don't.
If you say reggae, me and you going to fight.
I don't know what to call it, but
it's dancehall reggae.
First of all, I love that album.
Everybody, it's the best.
I mean, it's definitely one of two of his albums that I've ever owned. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've listened to many other of his albums because he's a Jamaican.
He has three. Right.
Oh, three. Okay.
Right. He has two bad.
And he's Jamaican, right? Which means that any album he has generally isn't really an album. It's just a mixtape.
Right. It's just all the hits from the past 5 years.
Exactly. but this album is great.
I mean, it's a moot point now, but I believe and used to say for a long time that Bojo would end up on our money because he's dancehall personified. Like, when he went to prison, I was so upset because, like, he could have been easily a national hero because he's, like, even for people who were puritanical about music and they're like, listen, I don't listen to this type of music or that type of music. There's always one artist that everyone gave a free pass to, Bojo. And that was Bojo. Yeah.
And that's because
everybody played Bojo anywhere at all. I've never gone anywhere, and people, I've been in churches, I've been in places where the people are high and mighty, and Bojo play, and every single person knows all of the songs, and no one else gets that, right?
Bojo, well, was, you know who else gets that though? He's not dancehall. This is not dancehall at all. But he's in I always associate him with Budra, actually. Berries? Yeah. Berries, yeah.
Right, but Berries wasn't dance. Like, Berries didn't have song about girl or wine
of
themselves.
No, I know, right. He's not dancehall at all.
Right.
And reggae isn't even either what he is. He's like almost reggae slash R&B slash soul. He is something special.
But Budra was able to... Like, Budra was a catch-all. Because he did songs... He did, like, more reggae-type songs. He had his, dancehall... Like, straight dancehall songs. Mm-hmm. And then he had, like, his conscious songs where he's, like, telling people, ironically, things that they shouldn't do. To make their mother proud. No, he's in prison because he's an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
But... When he put out his last album, Too Bad, and he had the song, the Driver song, right?
Driver. I like that song, actually.
I went everywhere, and so people
dumb,
played
but
that
I
song.
I love that song, yeah.
Everywhere. I heard that song literally. It's the only other song I remember being played so hard everywhere was when R. Kelly put out Fiesta.
Oh, wow. So, you know what's sad about this is that first of all, what's great about this is we'll still have more to say next week.
Yeah, next week.
What's bad about this is that this Echo Minot song is so bad that we've just resorted to doing something that we said we'd never do, which is to talk about the next song.
We don't apologize. Like, Echo Minot sucks.
I think at this point you guys should just do the two songs this week.
No.
No.
No, we have more.
I actually don't even know what song it is. I saw the name and I can't remember what song that I'd have to
I know what
again.
Song it is, but we'll talk about it next week. So
but I know it because I literally I have this album downstairs. I've listened
album
to the
90,000 times.
Yeah, a million times. I just the name doesn't ring a bell for some reason.
In fact, Budra is so good that when my speaker was working, it's not working anymore. For whatever reason. When I was traveling home, especially early mornings, and there'd be some young person playing their music out of their shitty teeny phone and annoying everybody on the bus, the only album I knew I could get everyone on board with, no matter what time of the morning, was Budra. You just play Till I'm Laid to Rest, and everybody was like, forgot that they were going to work. And the person had to turn off their shitty music, and everybody was just on board with Budra all the way home. Budra is... He was one of the greats. And now he's... I'll be there for his first concert when he leaves prison. But he's thrown away so much goodwill by being a craven idiot. it's really sad. But no more pineapples. Don't listen to Echo Minor.
I guess that's the end of the podcast.
Yep. No marathons.
We
actually, I'm working on something spectacular.
We discovered.
It will be unveiled next week, I believe.
I will have your pitch.
Am I ready for that? Am I mentally ready?
We'll see if I can. Good. We'll see if I can punch it out.
So fuck. I can't help it, boy. Snake!